Scott with SJ, wildfire.com. Hey, I'm pleased to announce Pastor Larry. We've talked a little bit about Pastor Larry and his Bible study. He's been studying Ephesians 6 for the last 3 to 4 years. He's been diving deep into spiritual warfare. And what was interesting is during his study over the last 3-4 years, he actually had a demonic encounter that he had to rebuke in the name of Jesus Christ. And this is a man's man. Pastor Larry fought 2 years in Vietnam with the Marines, saw a bunch of action. Then he became a pastor. From there, later in life, he ended up becoming a school teacher. Very hardworking man, owned his own paint company, multiple blue-collar, white-collar jobs. The man has life experiences. He's a cool dude, man's man, fun to be around, and he loves the Lord.
Good morning. This is Brother Larry. Glad to be back. I was on about a 2-week vacation, trying to decompress a little bit. And it's glad to have you back. I'm glad to know that you're listening. And we have talked about a lot in this since last summer about spiritual warfare. There's a lot to come. We need to talk about the blessings that are going to be that are ours, that we have in Christ, and what Christ has done for us. And this is all part of our spiritual warfare, and that's continuing in the book of Ephesians, and it's basically in chapter 1. There's some great truths in that, and if we apply and accept it, it gives us great strength for the battle. And it allows us to pick up that spiritual armor that's talked about later in the book in chapter 6 of Ephesians. So we're going to deal a little bit in depth, and we get into a lot of subjects that are controversial, such as election and predestination. And I be the first one to claim I don't know all about that. I just accept the revealed Word of God, the revealed will of God. So we're going to talk about those things. And those things are a great blessing to us. In fact, the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 even states that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings. So we're going to take a look at that in depth, and it's going to bring you a lot of hope, a lot of comfort, and a lot of strength for the battle that is ours. And I know that some have just probably tuned in and maybe have not listened before. So there's a lot of first-time listeners here. And I want to speak to those first-time listeners. Maybe make a little introduction to myself. Who I am, why am I doing this, and where are we going? I am Brother Larry. I will not give my last name for obvious reasons. I'm just a regular guy, a regular person like everybody else. I struggle just like the rest of you. I have not arrived. I won't arrive until I see Jesus and be like him. But while I'm living on this earth, which is not my home, and I'm just passing through, and if you're a believer in Christ, you're just passing through. This is not your home. So we must not get too comfortable here, but we want to be blessed as we move through this world. So I have not arrived to perfection, and neither have you. And therefore, Jesus says, we're born into trouble. If you accept Christ as your Savior, it's not an easy road, but it's the blessed road. Not an easy road to the fact that others don't like your stand that you take for Christ. So, and I'm going to explain to you what a Christian is. And I want you to see Jesus also if you're not a Christian. You might have just tuned in because you're curious. So I'm going to try and explain how one is a Christian and how you can share in these same blessings. First of all, I want to say, and I've said this many times, but I will say it again if you're a first-time listener, that I believe the Bible to be true. I believe it to be the Word of God. Now, it's not true because I believe it. I believe it because it is true. And it's my only source for moral truth. I don't really care what the world says, and I'm going to explain probably within the next week or two what the world means in the scriptures. But it is no consequence to me what the world says. I stand, and I want you to know this right off the get-go. I stand upon the promises of God. I stand upon the Word of God. I believe it is God's word to mankind. That God is taking the initiative, because we could not take the initiative to find God. And I'll explain that later as I go on also. But just as in review, if God did not reveal himself to mankind, we would all be lost. We would all be lost in our sins and our trespasses. Because God is perfectly holy, and he requires his people to be holy. And we can't do that in our natural born state. That's why Jesus says, when he was talking to the religious leader, and mind you, he was a religious, devout religious man, Jesus says, unless you are born again, if you're not born from above, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. That's a bold statement, and Jesus made many bold statements, as we're going to see. Why do we have to be born from above? That means born by the Spirit of God. And Jesus taught Nicodemus, as he did others, that birth comes through only one way, and that's through him, through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. It's a serious, serious issue where your soul will spend eternity. Yes, I believe the Bible teaches God's judgment on those who die without Christ. And it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of God if you do not know Jesus Christ. That's the whole purpose of God taking the initiative, because he is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Why is Christ waiting so long to come back again? Well, just for that reason. He's waiting for more and more people to come to him. But look, you have to take the initiative. You have to come to him. He's put it in your lap where it belongs. He's done all he could by sending Jesus Christ to die in our place, because we, if born as sinners, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That includes me. That includes anybody who was born on the face of the earth. We all have sinned. I don't care what your position is. I don't care how educated you are. I don't care if you believe it or not. It's still the truth. And that's what I preach here. I do not preach myself, but I preach Christ crucified. And I preach only him. And I preach his revealed word to me and to all of mankind. He has made himself plain. He's given witness to us in our heart that there's something more than what this life offers. And that more is only can be filled by Jesus Christ, because he offers us the peace and the rest. He is the Prince of Peace. You may be seeking your peace some other place, and you know it hasn't worked, because you're still restless. You can go through all the latest philosophies, all the Eastern religions, but you will not find that peace that Jesus Christ answers. And believe me, Don't we need peace in this world? This world is troubled. And it's on a downward slide. I didn't say upward. It's on a downward slide of evil. And it's all because man is fallen. He is separated from his God. But God wants to come to him. In fact, he has come to him. And he wants you to say, I will give myself wholly, totally to his son, Jesus Christ. And this is what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches it. That man fell in the garden. Yes, there was a Garden of Eden. I believe it to be a literal place. Enter sin, enter Satan. And ever since, there's been a warfare going on, and that's what we're teaching here. Satan induced Eve to disobey God and made the promise that if you eat of this tree, you shall be as gods. And that's exactly what mankind is doing today without the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to be their own master. Man wants to be the only captain of the ship. He doesn't want anybody telling him what to do. He's proud of what he does and what he says. And God wants to correct this. Man is headed in the wrong direction. He's headed in the way that leads to destruction. And Jesus says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the gate to eternal life, and few there are that find it. And I'm here to try to direct you to that gate. Now, coming to Christ involves your whole self. You have to recognize, first of all, that you are a sinner. For all have sinned. And I circle that word all. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And that word death, Greek words, always means separation. It doesn't mean annihilation. The wages of sin is separation from God. And that's a horrible place to be. Can you imagine a place where there's no God, there's no good, there's no truth, there's no compassion, nothing but continual evil in that place where God is absent? Right now on this earth, you are experiencing God's blessings. He gives you sunshine. He gives you rain. He's good to you. He's good to us. But one day, if you die without Christ, my friends, and I say this with a broken heart, if you die without Christ, there's no more God and there's no more goodness. The devil doesn't promote goodness. In fact, he'll end up in the same place. So, God is trying to call us back to him ever since the fall, way back in Genesis. He's promised somebody, he's promised a savior. He told Satan in the garden that someone will come from the seed of the woman. And that seed will crush your head, Satan. You'll bruise his heel, but you're going to crush his head. And Satan knew that. And ever since that time, he has been working to crush the seed of Christ. You can see that all the way through Scripture. The time here does not allow me to go through all the Scripture passages that you can see this. Just one passage where when Jesus was just a small child, probably 2 years old, that Herod sent soldiers in to kill every child. And in Bethlehem to try to wipe out the seed of the Messiah. That was Satan in action. We know that didn't happen because God warned Mary and Joseph to flee to Egypt. But it's been that way all throughout Scripture. And finally, when it comes to the crucifixion, and Jesus descended into the earth for 3 days, he took the keys away from Satan of death, because he held the power or the fear of death over people. And Jesus took them away, and that crucifixion destroyed Satan's works as far as death is concerned. And he rose from the dead to prove that that was true. Now, in this, that's the Bible in a short synopsis. God's trying to bring us to this light of Jesus Christ to make us see these truths of what's been going on down through history. I don't believe this. This sounds too fantastic, you may say. Nonetheless, it's true. Now, Brother Larry here has gone through the Vietnam War for 2 years. I was in the combat infantry in the United States Marine Corps. So I'm familiar to what warfare is, warfare's tactics, knowledgeable about the enemy. And so when the Bible talks about these things, and it does, it talks about that we are in a war, and we're going to look at a couple of verses next week that says that we're in a battle, we're in a war. It says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers and wickedness in high places. So my friend, if you're not a believer, my battle is not with you. My battle's with the enemy that's behind the scenes in the spiritual realm. Well, Jesus Christ loves you. He wants you to deliver you out of that kingdom of darkness. And he wants you to rest, to have peace in your life, to know how to do battle with Satan, because once you become a Christian, he will attack you. Doesn't attack you much now is because you're in his kingdom, as he tried to do Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4. So being a war veteran gives me much insight into this warfare, this spiritual warfare that we're in. Now to me, this is the greatest conspiracy. I don't get into all those other conspiracies. But my battle is in the spiritual realm. The scriptures say that Satan has blinded the minds of those who believe not. Are you in that group? Are you saying to yourself, well, I don't believe all this? Well, you're in that group then. You must run to Christ for refuge. You must take refuge in him, because you will not win. You can think of all the excuses you want to, but you will not win the fight. And Jesus is saying, come to me, come to me. I'll give you refuge. I'll give you strength. I'll give you rest. I will give you peace. Why wouldn't you want to receive that? Why wouldn't you want somebody who loves you so much that he died for you? Why do you want to fight that? Well, somebody might call me a religious fanatic. Well, let them call you that. Makes no difference. At least you have that rest in knowing that you're going to go to be with Jesus Christ when you die. And that's another point. We all die. We're all seeking not to. Why do you think people exercise so hard and physically, and they think they can escape death? In fact, recently I heard a man say he takes 62 supplements, vitamins, every day. He's going to live to be 150 years old. Well, he may. I doubt it. But why is he doing this? Why is he? Does he have a fear of death? He doesn't want to die. Well, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You don't get a second chance in the next life. You make your choices now. And the whole choice is up to you. You have to know that Jesus Christ loves you, is not willing that you should perish. But if you die with rejecting Christ, which is the unpardonable sin, you will be judged by God. And that judgment is always death, separation from Him. Christ has opened the door. He's given you maybe many opportunities before, and you've rejected it. This may be the first time you've heard this. And I urge you and pray for you that you would make that decision for Jesus Christ. Now, and you can enter into this great blessing that we're going to talk about here in the future podcast. So, my friends, if this message has blessed you and this message has maybe convicted you and you want your friends to hear it, please share this with them. We'll see you next week. Pastor, or I keep saying pastor, but I'm not a pastor. Brother Larry, saying so long for now.